It's easier to fool someone than it is to convince them that they have been fooled. This quote comes from Mark Twain. Do you just take my word for this, or do you maybe think, does he really know if Mark Twain said this? What do you think? It sounds like something Mark Twain would say, but am I fooling you or not? Good morning. This is the Monday Morning Mindset. I am Eric Dieter, your host. I'm a life coach, ultramarathon runner, and this space, the Monday Morning Mindset, is where I give you mindset advice and tips to help you live a better life and live with an ultramarathon mindset. So what do you think? This quote, "It's easier to fool people than it is to convince them that they have been fooled." It is attributed to Mark Twain. The irony is that there are no references showing that Mark Twain ever said these exact words. But the uninformed on the internet continue to credit him with this proverb. You can find it all over that Mark Twain actually said this. Now, Mark Twain did write an essay called "What Is Man?" And he talks about how people tend to discover truth and then never question it again. You know the people, they know they're right, and anybody who disagrees with them is an idiot. Or in today's language, if you are on Facebook and you disagree with someone, you are a racist, a bigot, and a homophobe. This is something, it's true, but the quote itself, Mark Twain didn't say it. He said he probably would agree with it, but he did not write those exact words. He wrote something similar. So, I fooled you. It's not Mark Twain, but in spirit, maybe it is. So, this whole idea do you accept truth? Do you accept something that is true when you know it? You know, is that something that is truth? Something that you hang on to and defend? A lot of us do that, and you know, you find that on Facebook. People who know they're right, and anybody who disagrees with them, you know, I'm not gonna listen to you. Reminds me, there was a story, and I saw a long time ago, Star Trek the Motion Picture. If you're a Star Trek fan, you know, we can debate the merits of the movie. In this movie, there is an AI named, he calls himself V'ger. And V'ger returns to Earth looking for his creator, for its creator. And this entity is huge and comes to Earth and does not believe that the humans had anything to do with it, with this, with V'ger at all. The looks at humans on the Earth as an infestation of lesser beings. Now, the crew of the Enterprise comes to find out that V'ger is actually Voyager, one of the satellites, one of the first satellites that humans sent out of the solar system, and it has gone out and become sentient and got all kinds of information. It's been living out there for centuries and comes back looking for its creator. And the crew of the Enterprise finds an old code from the Voyager program and begins to, and convinces, and they're you know, debating with this V'ger to try to convince it not to destroy the Earth. And they find the confirmation code and say they're going to send it to prove to V'ger that humans actually are the ones that started out creating the Voyager. And V'ger burns out the data connection. The AI does not want to see the proof that humans were its creators. The same kind of thing happened to Galileo. They call him, some people say, the father of modern science. Happened to him in 1632. Galileo published the idea that the Earth revolves around the sun. Of course, we all know that that's true now, but back then, the Catholic Church said that the Earth was the center of everything, and the sun and everything in the universe revolved around the Earth. And Galileo I don't know who invented the telescope, but Galileo was the one using the telescope and found evidence to the contrary. And there are other scientists, or they're the equivalent of scientists, they call them philosophers, The other people who disagreed with Galileo refused to even look in the telescope. And Galileo said, just look, you can see that they're moving, that you can see this is true. And Galileo ended up being branded a heretic by the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church didn't want to have their beliefs questioned that the Earth was the center of the universe. Galileo was sentenced to house arrest and stayed there until he died. Now, you might think that we're different, you know, that right now, today, scientists look at evidence and discover new truth about the world and base all of their, you know, their facts, that what they believe to be true on the evidence. But Max Planck was is a guy who wrote about this, about how science works, and he said that scientific progress doesn't come from scientists looking at the evidence and being convinced. He said that the old scientists die out and the younger scientists are more familiar with the new theories, and that's how the new theories get adopted. And the quote is summarized by Max Planck saying that science progresses one funeral at a time, saying as the old scientists die off. And there are studies out that that say that this is, there is some truth to this, that evidence does not convince scientists to change their opinion on what they think. Now, you and I do the same thing. There's a psychological principle called confirmation bias. We tend to accept ideas that we agree with, and if we believe things to be true, we accept the proofs and the things that will help solidify what we believe to be true. We accept those things, but when something comes up, new opinions that tend to disagree with what we believe to be true, we question the authority, we question the sources, we go through and go, well, you know, that's fake news. Those are the kinds of things that we tend to do. That's confirmation bias. We want to stay pretty much what we believe to be true. We want it to remain that way, and we will reject things and burn out the data transfer, so that we don't have to question what we believe to be true. Now, the danger of doing this, if you do this, and all of us do, if you persist in this, you end up being a prisoner in your own mind. Now, you have a sense of security. You know, I love feeling like I'm right. I love that feeling of like, yes, I know I'm right, and I will disagree, and I will defend to my dying breath the fact that I'm right and about what I believe. But what happens is when you do that, it's a false sense of security because you can't grow. You're stuck there. You're stuck in your beliefs. You can't take in anything new. You never question whether you're right or not. You never get to grow. So you end up being that old man or that old woman who tells the same stories over and over, and people just kind of nod their heads and smile and go, you know, that's the way that used to be back in my day. We did it this way. Those kinds of things, you don't want to end up being that way. So how do you keep from getting stuck? How do you get yourself unstuck if you find yourself in this confirmation bias? First of all, I'm going to give you four steps. First of all, find your anchor truth. This is your stake in the ground. This is the thing you believe in your core. Now, it doesn't mean that you have unquestioned belief. This is not what an anchor truth is. Not blind faith. It's not something it is something that you have examined this truth, resolved all of your questions, and you have a reasonable assurity that this is something you can put a stake in the ground, and this will be the place to anchor you. For me, when I went through this process, I've been on this journey for a long time. My anchor truth is this, that God created everything there is in this universe, and every power, all the power that is in the universe, it's used by human beings or spiritual beings, all of that power originates within God. That was my anchor truth. And I was able to go on from there and start to question a lot of things that I had held true in my life and bring them up, which is what my second step is. Ask questions. Ask questions about what you think you know. Ask questions about what you think you know for sure. Ask questions about the things that you have been told are true. ask questions and question the things that you think that you know. And you leave your anchor truth, you know, those questions have been resolved, but you can question all the other things that come up. And you may find yourself that you may not be as sure about the truths that you think that you know. Maybe you will change your truths. Maybe you will hang on to those truths with a little bit looser grip, with not quite the certainty of being right. Number three, question the experts. Experts are people who have status in education. They are smarter than you are. They can talk better than you. They can convince you that they are right. But remember that the experts can be wrong, and oftentimes they are. And to question the experts, look at other experts that disagree with your experts. And know that just because someone is an expert and is lauded as an expert, is held up as an expert, doesn't necessarily mean that the things that they are saying are true. Question the experts. And number four, consider opinions that are contrary to the truth that you hold. Listen to people who think differently. They may not be idiots. They may not be racist. They may not be bigots. They may not be homophobes. They have different ideas. They have different thoughts. But usually, they have reasons for believing the things that they believe. Now, you may not agree with those reasons, and you may come to the conclusion that you're right, and that your truths are more valid than what they think. But understand that they have reasons for believing what they do. Think about this: even the people who believe in the flat Earth or the flat Earth society, they're out there. If you want to think, you know, some contrary to accepted truth opinions that run contrary to the norm, the Flat Earth Society is abundant in those. But remember, the people who believe in the Flat Earth, they do have reasons for why they believe what they believe. Now, I take a look at it. It's something that is a good mental exercise. We'd think, how can they believe that? They're in their minds, they have a rational argument. It's a conspiracy. It's a huge conspiracy. It's a conspiracy that, you know, and if you know how conspiracies work, I don't see how the conspiracy would hold together. But they have come to that conclusion in a somewhat logical fashion. Now, you know, you have to believe the fact that there's a huge cover-up, but there are people who do, and you can look at those opinions. I mean, even those opinions that I consider like way out there, and understand, yes, these people have come to that conclusion. Now, I don't agree with them. I'm kind of stand with Galileo. The Earth revolves around the sun, and it's a sphere, as are all the others, all the other planets and everything out there. But, you know, there are people who believe differently. And so, you know, yes, I don't agree with them, but that doesn't mean that they have nefarious reasons. They have come to that in a way that makes sense to them. So, what am I saying? The ultramarathon mindset is what I talk about here. Now, running an ultramarathon, you have to have the kind of mindset that is durable, flexible, and adaptable. And if you are stuck in this mindset that you know everything that there is to know, that all of your none of your truths are available, none of the things that you believe are able to be questioned, and you know everything, and there's no way to question it, that's a pretty stuck, not a very flexible mindset. And so for those of us who are runners, we know that every race is different. There's no formula for success, and your success comes when your mind and your body are working together. And if you get locked into, this is how I have to go about running my race, you're going to fail, because every race has its own challenges. And so you have to have a flexible mindset to be able to run ultramarathons. Same way with life. with navigating life. You have to have a flexible mindset. Doesn't mean you believe things and swallow things whole. It doesn't mean that you're easily fooled, but being able to get yourself out of and convince yourself that you may have been fooled, that you may have been incorrect in some of the things that you believe, is a very typical of what I'm talking about as an ultramarathon mindset. That's what I help my clients to do, develop that flexibility, that mental flexibility, and find their way to make your mindset work for you for your success. If I can help you, give me a call at ultramindsetpodcast.run, ultramindsetpodcast.run. Schedule 25 minutes with me. I'd be glad to talk with you and help you get started on your way to having that flexible and durable and adaptable mindset. Thanks for listening. I'll see you again next time.